Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. You'll find this on page 922 towards the back of your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. So this is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of the churches he was pastoring. This is the church in Rome, hence the name Romans. And Paul's letters all have a very similar format. The first half of his letters, he is typically writing about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, talking about what Jesus' relationship to God the Father. And then the second half of his books tend to be, well, if this is what Jesus did, then what does that mean for our lives? And so the second half of his letters will often take the, well, this is then what Christian life looks like. If you follow Jesus, this is what following Jesus looks like. And so that's where we are in Romans. We're in the second half. And so our lesson today is talking about what it means to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. So chapter 12, beginning at the 9th verse. Paul writes this. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. Years ago, while I was on vacation in Wisconsin, visiting my mom, I overheard a conversation she was having with my aunt, who had recently moved there with her husband. They retired and moved to Wisconsin. And this is how the conversation went. I started hearing it when my mom said, yeah, we started going there when the kids were really little. That long ago? Wow. We never got in the habit. And we've been a part of that same small group now for, more than 20 years, I think. That long? That many? All those years? Well, some people have moved away and others have moved in, but there's this core of us who have been steady the whole time. And with the same leader? Well, actually, we did have the same person for many years, but then she took a job across town, so now Jennifer is leading us. We like her. Of course, she's not Donna, but we're learning a lot from her. That sounds nice. Is the group all ages? Oh, yeah, a few of us are retired, but then there's Robin, who's in her 30s, and Paula, who has young children, and then there's some whose kids have left home, but they're still working. It's really nice. I like having friends who are not all my age. It helps keep me young. Wow, do you go every week? Well, I try to. If I miss because I'm traveling or if I just can't get there, my week just doesn't feel right and I just don't feel right. And I know they miss me when I'm not there. Wow, these people are really good friends of yours, aren't they? Oh, yeah. When my husband died years ago, they were everything to me. I don't know how I would have made it without them. They were so supportive. Wow, that's impressive. I don't think I have friends like that. Yeah, it's great. We get together for lunch sometimes. We make sure we celebrate everybody's birthdays. I have a party at the lake house every summer, and they all come. Wow, this is really an important community to you, isn't it? You're lucky, because I don't have that. Yeah, especially since I'm alone now, these friends have become more important to me than ever. Boy, I wish I had something like that in my life. Well, my mom said, you're welcome to join us anytime. Well, any guesses as to what they were talking about? We wish it was the church, don't we? She was describing her fitness class at her health club. Yeah, my mom has been going to the same health club since Greg and I were little. And it's an amazing group and core that she has there. Of course, she does have good fellowship at her church, but I don't know if she would even describe her church in the same way that she describes her fitness class at the club. In confirmation class here, when we get to the part where we're talking about the church, we ask the kids to share the church, any church, not just art, but describe the church at its best. Just describe it. And here is what they say. Caring, accepting of everyone, loving, takes care of others, gives the benefit of the doubt, friendly, Bible-based, kind, encouraging, prayerful, forgiving all the time, free of its own politics and free from gossip, compassionate, joyful, hospitable, full of grace. Everyone is involved and everyone is welcome, seeing each person as equal regardless of their station in life. Yeah, all of these and more, right? This is the church at its best. And in our reading today from Romans, Paul also gives us the church at its best. And this section we read comes right after he has challenged this church in Rome to see themselves as the body of Christ. Individuals are like members of one single body, and each member has an important part to play. There's no room for competition because our confidence comes from not making ourselves better than others, but our confidence comes from believing in the gospel and in Jesus and how God values each one of us. God's goodness is the foundation of our faith. And so today we read what it looks like when people live out of the gospel rather than their own self-interests. Here we have the best values that Paul has learned and sees as crucial to building up the community of faith. And the focus is on genuineness and the priority of love. A love which includes recognizing what is not love, namely evil, and then the ability to resist that. The good deeds we do, our good actions, are not defined by a set of rules, but rather by love. It's not about doing the right thing or the wrong thing, but rather doing the loving thing. This mutual love and respect is fundamental to Christian communities. And there is no room in the church for exploitation or for shaming others. Here we are freed from the urge to win by making losers out of other people. So here we have a community of believers centered around love and joy and hope. And yet Paul is not interested in a self-serving, happy community of people who only care for each other. No, he widens the vision to include those beyond our walls and beyond our horizon. That is the church at its best. And this outward focus is the point of our hospitality. In the ancient world, it was absolutely vital that strangers be welcomed and looked after. Paul knew this from his own experience. He was a visiting pastor and preacher. He had churches all over the area, and so he would travel to a city, and he had to rely on the hospitality of that church to take him in their home and to feed him. And then he would move to the next city, and the same thing. These days, hospitality has less to do with hosting visiting preachers than it is taking seriously anyone who comes through our doors. But then Paul asks, what about those who are not so kind to us? When we feel threatened by people who oppose us, or when we don't feel valued in the relationship, it is easy for bitterness to creep in. But Paul says, bless them. And we have to know and remember that blessing our enemies is not condoning their actions, but rather it's never losing sight of their humanity and their dignity as persons who are made in the image of God in their core. The church at its best must do that, making it a priority to make room for people both in their sadness and in their gladness, no matter what. We make room and space. So notice that I've been talking about the church, describing the church at its best without referring to it as a family. So often we do hear the church referred to as a family, but when we turn to the Bible to learn about the church, the family language is never used. Instead, the Bible gives us the image of the body, and also uses words like fellowship and sharing and community with descriptions like our reading from Romans this morning. The family we are a part of, when the Bible does use family language, it's talking about the entire family of God. And the word is oikoumene, the word that we get economy out of, is the word for household. And that's how Paul describes all Christians, as a family. So the family is everyone who follows Jesus, and we become family. The other image he uses then is adoption. That's how we become a family of all Christians, because God adopts everybody into his family. And then the church is described as his body. This church gathered by Jesus to serve the world as a body is very different than from a family when you think about it. Choosing community and body language also helps us guard against becoming insular and so focused on ourselves that we overlook the needs of those around us and those who are not yet among us. I don't know so much that we have an understanding of the purpose of our family to take care of those who are not in our family. And that's the purpose of the church, always to care for those who are not in it. And in this way, the church is a unique thing, and it ought to be. We take our charter and our identity from Scripture and from God's call in our lives as individuals and together. Modeling our life together in the image of a family or a health club or a business will always fall short because we are the body of Christ. I want to close with a quote from a church newsletter that came across my desk last week. This is actually I get the church newsletter from my mom's church in Wisconsin, which is the church I grew up in, and this was part of a message that I stumbled on. Bottom line, being the church is not just about us. It's not about having our needs met, or any of the things we look at when we determine the value of belonging to a country club, the Rotary, a bridge group, what have you. The value isn't in what we get from it, but the value we receive is by becoming a part of it and living with it. The ultimate value is that our wills and God's will are joined in one. In short, being church is about God and our being God's people right here and right now. The church at its best. Yes. Amen.